Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another thrilling episode. Well, the actual first episode of The Radical Republic. I am Shady Star, and let's see what's going on in today's politics in America. All right, well, we have Secretary of State, Mr. Pompeo, who thinks that the 1619 Project is some sort of rebuke on American foundations. When, you know, basically it's, you know, it's just telling the truth. I mean, things that we didn't learn in school because of whatever curriculum or whatever was going on. And, you know, they didn't, you know, I guess they felt as though it wasn't really prudent for elementary school kids or middle school kids. You know, sometimes you just don't learn that stuff until you do research on your own. You know, there's levels to teaching about, I guess, history. And then, you know, some people say it's like indoctrination. You know, Trump says that schools are teaching kids that hate America by basically just telling the truth about America. I mean, how does telling the truth make one hate one's country that they was born in? I mean, you should want to know the truth, and you can know the truth without disdain. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can know about slavery, and you can know about the horrible things that happened to slaves, and, you know, still love the country. I'm really confused on how they really think that whole thing works. You know, now they got these CBP officers in Oregon. And, you know, nah, I mean, I don't live in Oregon, but from the things that I see, most of these people that they snatching up are nowhere near federal buildings. So, you know, how can you say that you protect the federal buildings when you snatching up people that's nowhere near these federal buildings? And it just seems so shady. And, you know, these Gestapo-like tactics that the president is using and the vice president is co-signing, and a lot of other conservative Republicans, you know, are just co-signing their, well, what can I say, their political careers away. Because, you know, people see things, and sometimes people don't vote. But when they see things that they don't like, they, you know, they're all of a sudden now they're motivated to vote these people out of office. And these are prominent careers over a span of history of lifetimes. And it's not just Democrats. It's also Republicans. So, you know. And really, what else? Elijah Cummings died. Rest in peace, Elijah Cummings. Legendary civil rights activist, marched with Martin Luther King, and, you know, did a whole lot of things for America while in office. Helped a lot of black communities, uplifted a lot of black youth, you know, to do more to become either Republican or Democrat. You know, he paved the way for that. I mean, some people were sincere, some people were just, you know, paying lip service. But, you know, you had to respect the man whether you liked him or not. Just like John McCain, you know, war veteran. And, you know, somebody to be respected. Getting off topic about these, the defunding of police. Now, I mean, the wording is wrong, but no one really wants to defund the police. I mean, and if you do, you better have a damn good strategy to, you know, support whatever crimes there is when you want to abolish the police. I mean, I'm not really saying that, you know, cops do a lot, but they, you know, their investigations help a lot. I mean, you know, what's going to happen when your child gets snatched up? You know, and who you going to call? Somebody in the community? I mean, what can they do with limited knowledge? Or limited resources. I mean, cops come with resources, and they can do things that regular citizens can't do. I mean, and regular citizens do what cops can't do. It's like, you know, it's a symbiotic relationship, and we need each other. And that's really what it is, you know, we need each other. But, I mean, and you know, you hear people say about, oh, you know, there people shouldn't vilify all cops not bad. You know, you got some rotten apples. But the problem is, those bad cops are protected by the so-called good cops. I mean, these good cops never say anything. And then they're protected by the captain. They're protected by the chief. They're protected by the DA. They're protected by the, you know, the Fraternal Order of Police. You know, these police clubs or whatever you want to call them. And it's just downright sad. I mean, if you're going to try to say, well, we shouldn't vilify all cops, then all the cops that's not bad should say something against the bad cops. But they don't. They protect them. They protect them behind qualified immunity. They protect them by lying. They protect them by, you know, lying, you know, hiding evidence that's crucial to investigations and things like that. Like, I mean, you gotta look at cops like any regular job. No one is born a cop, and these people become cops because they feel though they can help the community, or, you know, or whatever. You know, they come out of the military and they still want to do some good. You know, they become cops. But sometimes, just like in the military, just like in regular service, there are people who have a hidden agenda. You know, they're nasty people, rude people. You know, and you know, people get frustrated when they're dealing with society. You know what I mean? Security guards, receptionists, you know, cashiers. Society can frustrate you. But it's your job to try to de-escalate that whole situation. You know, you got to have some customer service. And I think cops should have the most, man, like, the best customer service there is. But some of them don't. Like, you get frustrated when, you know, you hear somebody curse you out, which is their right. You know, it is a right to curse you out. It's like you say, you know, words, sticks and stones break my bones, but words don't hurt me. It seems like words hurt a lot of cops. You know, you call them pigs, they get upset, and they want to lock you up. You know, trumped up charges. And, you know, it's just not right. Now, defunding the cops is the bad thing. Abolishing the cops is the bad thing. Diverting funds between the police and social programs for the community, you know, regular civilians, that's the way to go. We shouldn't be giving like $58 billion to police precincts and give $2 million to these already stretched out community programs where everybody got to break up, you know, divide the $2 million. Well, this goes here and this goes here. It's a small piece of the pie compared to police officers' budget. And I don't think it's right. And it's not just me. It's a lot of people that really don't want to speak about the things that happens. You know, because they you know, they're scared of being criticized. You know, they're scared of being targeted by other people, not by cops, but cop fans. You know, there's a lot of cop fans out there. Lots. Some of them suffer from battered woman syndrome. You know, well, I was doing wrong and the cop hit me and I deserved it. Like, no one deserved to get hit by someone that's supposed to be protecting your rights. I mean, you know, society, like I said, society gets nasty. And just because you're a cop don't mean that you can hurt people because now you're upset that they called you a name or they looked at you funny. So now you want to trump up charges, disorderly conduct, or, you know, some injury to a cop, some police officer, some, you know, some retarded shit like that. Like, because cops do trump up charges, and the judges and the attorneys and the chiefs, like I said, and the captains and the lieutenants, they all cover for these cops. And you should really just stop covering for them. That makes them what they wrong doing. That makes them want to do it more, because they know I can hit this person and injure him, and then well my captain will say this, or my lieutenant will say this. The complaint will be written up. Well, probably won't even be filed. So then there's no evidence of that. And then if I do wind up going to court, the attorneys will say this and the judge will say this. Like, and also politicians, you know, back these bad officers, you know, it's just sad. But the abolishing cops thing, I mean, that's not really a good slogan, because we do need police. I'm sorry to tell you people that, but we do need police. You know, for crimes, all kinds of crimes, bank robberies, robberies, you know, prostitution, sex trafficking, child molestation, things like that. Violent crimes where, you know, there's an injured party or there's a deceased party. We need those cops for that. I mean, now I think that the cops should get better training. I mean, better training, de-escalation training is good. Now, some of these cops, some of these academies do have that kind of training, but the problem is the training is optional. So a cop may attend one training class, two training classes, and the rest of the classes they just don't want to attend. I mean, because they don't have to, because it's optional. So I think these things should be mandatory. It shouldn't be the option. These things should be mandatory. Now, you don't want to turn cops into bleeding hearts. You know, everything is wrong when they got to scrutinize everything they do. Should I light this person up? You know, maybe I shouldn't, because this person is black, or this person is Asian, or, you know, things like that. Like, you don't want to do that. But you don't want to give them leeway to just do anything they want just because. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back. So now we're talking about this 94 crime bill that people have brought up a lot to try to, you know, discredit Joe Biden. But have you actually read the contents of the bill? And people always say, you know, you hear people say, well, he's responsible for the mass incarceration of black people. But actually, we've been targeted for mass incarceration way before Joe Biden. So putting that blame on him is, you know, trying to put blame on Trump for climate disaster. I mean, he's helped by rolling back some, you know, some choice changes that Obama put forth, but he's not responsible for it. And just like Joe Biden is responsible for mass incarceration of the black people. I mean, especially at the state level, when his bill was at the federal level. And people don't understand that. His bill also included the Violence Against Women's Act and, you know, immigration policy and, you know, the third strike law for violent offenders. I mean, you know, things like that. And no one takes the time to actually read the bill. You know, they just, well, regurgitate whatever they hear on the news or whatever they hear another person say. And it's, you know, it's really sad when you listen to things like that, because it's like it's a propaganda machine. And instead of people doing their own research, they'll just listen. And, you know, they'll soak it up like a sponge and they'll use it again. And then when it's the wrong information, you know, they try to discredit you. But it's just basically wrong information. And it's a shame that people won't do their own research when it comes to certain things. Just like Trump said, Biden wanted to defund or abolish the police, which turned out to be not true. But he still uses it as a campaign ad. And even though it's been debunked, it's still being used as a campaign ad. And it's people out there that would rather listen to another person than read a book or do their own research on, you know, whatever is being said. And that's how we got to where we are today in this crazy world of politics. You know, one person to say something, and maybe this one person got millions of followers or thousands of followers, and instead of at least one follower trying to debunk the whole thing by doing their own research, they'll just add more people to the fire. Well, yeah, this is true because it was on this video, which these days can be edited or taken out of context, or I read this about him, which is usually biased information. You know, so you really can't believe that. But most people do, and it's really kind of sad, really, that no one wants to do any research. Like, it's really sad. It's really sad. But then they talk about the segregation that, you know, Biden was for. A lot of people were for segregation. Not just Biden. A lot of black people were for it. A lot of Republicans were for it. Democrats were for it. You know, they felt that, and you leave to some of them, they felt that segregation wouldn't help the white man. It wouldn't help the black man either. Even though we all living on this in this country together, I think you should be separate, and I think I should be separate. And then, you know, whatever resources we need, and then we should trade those resources instead of just coming together, as we should. I mean, we all living on the same planet. Some of us live in the same country. Whatever the differences are, the class difference, the race difference, the financial difference, we all live in the same country, and we breathe in the same air. And we all go to the bathroom the same way. I mean, you know. So we should all pull together. That's like the fundamental thing that all religions talk about. Coming together as one people for the good of all people. But it seems as though that there's always some class of people or some race of people that think they're superior between others. You know, I'm superior because I'm Japanese. I'm superior against the Chinese, or I'm superior against the white people because I'm black, or I'm white, so I'm superior against all other colors. You know, all other humans. Since I'm white, I'm the most superior. And you know, history really doesn't show that. We know one empire falls, one empire comes up. The inferior empire rises, the superior empire falls. So, I mean, all coming together for one common goal is great. And I really want to touch on something that Nick Cannon has said about one world government. Like, I mean, that's not really, I don't really see that as a good thing. But particularly, I don't really see it as a bad thing. It's like I'm kind of in the middle with it. I mean, everybody don't share the same. The laws aren't the same. The cultures aren't the same. So in a sense, it wouldn't work. But when you put all it aside, in a sense, it will work. So I'm just like straddling the fence. I'm just in the middle. So, you know, you just got to be. You got to, if you're going to have that religious mindset, you know, and the God, and whatever religion, God talks about people working together, coming together. And that's the most important thing. So I'll end this. I'm Shade Star, and thank you for listening to another great episode of The Radical Republican. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another thrilling episode well, the actual first episode of The Radical Republic. I am Shady Star, and let's see what's going on in today's politics in America. All right, well, we have Secretary of State, Mr. Pompeo, who thinks that the 1619 Project is some sort of rebuke on American foundations. When, you know, basically it's, you know, it's just telling the truth. I mean, things that we didn't learn in school because of whatever curriculum or whatever was going on. And, you know, they didn't, you know, I guess they felt as though it wasn't really prudent for elementary school kids or middle school kids. You know, sometimes you just don't learn that stuff until you do research on your own. You know, there's levels to teaching about, I guess, history. And then, you know, some people say it's like indoctrination. You know, Trump says that people, that schools are teaching kids that hate America by basically just telling the truth about America. I mean, how does telling the truth make one hate one's country that they was born in? I mean, you should want to know the truth, and you can know the truth without disdain. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can know about slavery, and you can know about the horrible things that happened to slaves, and, you know, still love the country. I'm really confused on how they really think that work, that whole thing works. You know, now they got these CBP officers in Oregon, and, you know, nah, I mean, I don't live in Oregon, but from the things that I see, most of these people that they snatching up are nowhere near federal buildings. So, you know, how can you say that you protect the federal buildings when you snatching the people that's nowhere near these federal buildings? And it just seems so shady. And, you know, these Gestapo-like tactics that the president is using and the vice president is co-signing, and a lot of other conservative Republicans, you know, are just co-signing their, well, what can I say, their political careers away. Because, you know, people see things, and sometimes people don't vote, but when they see things that they don't like, they, you know, they're all of a sudden now they're motivated to vote these people out of office. And these are prominent careers over a span of history of lifetimes. And it's not just Democrats. It's also Republicans. So, you know. And really, what else? Elijah Cummings died. Rest in peace, Elijah Cummings. Legendary civil rights activist, marched with Martin Luther King, and, you know, did a whole lot of things for America while in office. Helped a lot of black communities, uplifted a lot of black youth, you know, to do more, to become either Republican or Democrat. You know, he paved the way for that. I mean, some people were sincere, some people were just, you know, paying lip service. But, you know, you had to respect the man whether you liked him or not. Just like John McCain, you know, war veteran. And, you know, somebody to be respected. Getting off topic about these, the defunding of police. Now, I mean, the wording is wrong, but no one really wants to defund the police. I mean, and if you do, you better have a damn good strategy to, you know, support whatever crimes there is when you want to abolish the police. I mean, I'm not really saying that, you know, cops do a lot, but they, you know, their investigations help a lot. I mean, you know, what's going to happen when your child gets snatched up? You know, and who are you going to call? Somebody in the community? I mean, what can they do with limited knowledge or limited resources? I mean, cops come with resources, and they can do things that regular citizens can't do. I mean, and regular citizens do what cops can't do. It's like, you know, it's a symbiotic relationship, and we need each other. And that's really what it is. You know, we need each other. But, I mean, and you know, you hear people say about, oh, you know, there people shouldn't vilify all cops. All cops not bad. You know, you got some rotten apples. But the problem is, those bad cops are protected by the so-called good cops. I mean, these good cops never say anything. And then they're protected by the captain. They're protected by the chief. They're protected by the DA. They're protected by the Fraternal Order of Police. You know, these police clubs or whatever you want to call them. And it's just downright sad. I mean, if you're going to try to say, well, we shouldn't vilify all cops, then all the cops that's not bad should say something against the bad cops. But they don't. They protect them. They protect them behind qualified immunity. They protect them by lying. They protect them by, you know, lying, you know, hiding evidence that's crucial to investigations and things like that. Like, I mean, you gotta look at cops like any regular job. No one is born a cop, and these people become cops because they feel as though they can help the community, or you know, or whatever. You know, they come out of the military and they still want to do some good. You know, they become cops. But sometimes, just like in the military, just like in regular service, there are people who have a hidden agenda. You know, there's nasty people, rude people, you know, and you know, people get frustrated when they're dealing with society. You know what I mean? Security guards, receptionists, you know, cashiers. Society can frustrate you. But it's your job to try to de-escalate that whole situation. You know, you got to have some customer service. And I think cops should have the most, man, like, the best customer service there is. But some of them don't. Like, you get frustrated when, you know, you hear somebody curse you out, which is their right. You know, it is a right to curse you out. Just like you say, you know, words, sticks and stones break my bones, but words don't hurt me. It seems like words hurt a lot of cops. You know, you call them pigs, they get upset, and they want to lock you up. You know, trumped up charges. And, you know, it's just not right. Now, defunding the cops is the bad thing. Abolishing the cops is the bad thing. Diverting funds between the police and social programs for the community, you know, regular civilians, that's the way to go. We shouldn't be giving like $58 billion to police precincts and give $2 million to these already stretched out community programs where everybody got to break up, you know, divide the $2 million. Well, this goes here and this goes here. It's a small piece of the pie compared to police officers' budget, and I don't think it's right. And it's not just me, it's a lot of people that really don't want to speak about the things that happens, you know, because they you know, they're scared of being criticized, you know, they're scared of being targeted by other people, not by cops, I mean, but cop fans. You know, there's a lot of cop fans out there. Lots. Some of them suffer from battered woman syndrome. You know, I was doing wrong and the cop hit me and I deserved it. Like, no one deserved to get hit by someone that's supposed to be protecting your rights. I mean, you know, society, like I said, society gets nasty. And just because you're a cop don't mean that you can hurt people because now you're upset that they called you a name or they looked at you funny. So now you want to trump up charges, disorderly conduct, or, you know, some injury to a cop, some police officer, so, you know, some retarded shit like that. Like, because cops do trump up charges, and the judges and the attorneys and the chiefs, like I said, and the captains and the lieutenants, they all cover for these cops. And you should really just stop covering for them. that makes them what they wrongdoing, that makes them want to do it more, because they know I can hit this person and injure him, and then my captain will say this, or my lieutenant will say this. The complaint will be written up, will probably won't even be filed. So then there's no evidence of that. And then if I do wind up going to court, the attorneys will say this, and the judge will say this. Like, and also politicians, you know, back these bad officers. You know, it's just sad. But the abolishing cops thing, I mean, that's not really a good slogan, because we do need police. I'm sorry to tell you people that, but we do need police. You know, for crimes, all kinds of crimes, bank robberies, robberies, you know, prostitution, sex trafficking, child molestation, things like that, violent crimes where, you know, there's an injured party or there's a deceased party. We need those cops for that. I mean, now I think that the cops should get better training. I mean, better training, de-escalation training is good. Now, some of these cops, some of these academies do have that kind of training, but the problem is the training is optional. So a cop may attend one training class, two training classes, and the rest of the classes they just don't want to attend. I mean, because they don't have to, because it's optional. So I think these things should be mandatory. It shouldn't be the option. These things should be mandatory. Now, you don't want to turn cops into bleeding hearts. You know, everything is wrong when they got to scrutinize everything they do. Should I light this person up? You know, maybe I shouldn't, because this person is black, or this person is Asian, or, you know, things like that. Like, you don't want to do that. But you don't want to give them leeway to just do anything they want just because this person is black, or this person is Asian, or this person is Hispanic, or, you know, this person is white. You know what I mean? You don't want to give them leeway to just do anything they want. And I feel as though it should be, you know, training. Also, Hello. Welcome back. So now we're talking about this 94 crime bill that people have brought up a lot to try to, you know, discredit Joe Biden. But have you actually read the contents of the bill? And people always say, you know, you hear people say, well, he's responsible for the mass incarceration of black people. Well, actually, we've been targeted for mass incarceration way before Joe Biden. So putting that blame on him is, you know, trying to put blame on Trump for climate disaster. I mean, he's helped by rolling back some, you know, some choice changes that Obama put forth, but he's not responsible for it. And just like Joe Biden is responsible for mass incarceration of the black people. I mean, especially at the state level, when his bill was at the federal level, and people don't understand that his bill also included the Violence Against Women's Act, and, you know, immigration policy, and, you know, the third strike law for violent offenders. I mean, you know, things like that. And no one takes the time to actually read the bill. You know, they just, well, regurgitate whatever they hear on the news or whatever they hear another person say. And it's, you know, it's really sad when you listen to things like that, because it's like it's a propaganda machine. And instead of people doing their own research, they'll just listen and you know they'll soak it up like a sponge, and they'll use it again. And then when it's the wrong information, you know they try to discredit you. But it's just basically wrong information, and it's a shame that people won't do their own research when it comes to certain things. Just like Trump said, Biden wanted to defund or abolish the police, which turned out to be not true. But he still used it as a campaign ad. And even though it's been debunked, it's still being used as a campaign ad. And it's people out there that would rather listen to another person than you read a book or do their own research on, you know, whatever is being said. And that's how we got to where we are today in this crazy world of politics. You know, one person to say something, and maybe this one person got millions of followers or thousands of followers, and instead of at least one follower trying to debunk the whole thing by doing their own research, they'll just add more people to the fire. Well, yeah, this is true because it was on this video, which these days can be edited or taken out of context, or I read this about him, which is usually biased information. You know, so you really can't believe that. But most people do, and it's really kind of sad, really, that no one wants to do any research. Like, it's really sad. It's really sad. But then they talk about the segregation that, you know, Biden was for. A lot of people were for segregation. Not just Biden. A lot of black people were for it. A lot of Republicans were for it. Democrats were for it. You know, they felt that, and you leave to some of them, they felt that segregation wouldn't help the white man. It wouldn't help the black man either. Even though we all living on this in this country together, I think you should be separate, and I think I should be separate. And then, you know, whatever resources we need, then we should trade those resources instead of just coming together, as we should. I mean, we all living on the same planet. Some of us live in the same country. Whatever the differences are, the class difference, the race difference, the financial difference, we all live in the same country, and we breathe in the same air. And we all go to the bathroom the same way. I mean, you know. So we should all pull together. That's like the fundamental thing that all religions talk about. Coming together as one people for the good of all people. But it seems as though that there's always some class of people or some race of people that think they're superior between others. You know, I'm superior because I'm Japanese. I'm superior against the Chinese, or I'm superior against the white people because I'm black, or I'm white, so I'm superior against all other colors. You know, all other humans. Since I'm white, I'm the most superior. And you know, history really doesn't show that. You know, one empire falls, one empire comes up. The inferior empire rises, the superior empire falls. So, I mean, all coming together for one common goal is great. And I really want to touch on something that Nick Cannon has said about one world government. Like, I mean, that's not really, I don't really see that as a good thing. But particularly, I don't really see it as a bad thing. It's like I'm kind of in the middle with it. I mean, everybody don't share the same. The laws aren't the same. The cultures aren't the same. So in a sense, it wouldn't work. But when you put all it aside, in a sense, it will work. So I'm just like straddling the fence. I'm just in the middle. So, you know, you just got to be. You gotta, if you're gonna have that religious mindset, you know, and the God and whatever religion God talks about, people working together, coming together. And that's the most important thing. So I'll end this. I'm Shade Star, and thank you for listening to another great episode of The Radical Republican. Welcome to another episode of The Radical Republican. Today, Wednesday, the 22nd of July, 2020. I just saw some disturbing news about some women being found in bins, saran wrap. Now, people, this is clearly human trafficking, sex trafficking, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's just kind of crazy sometimes. You know, you read about these things and you hear about people doing all kinds of stuff for money, you know, and, you know, it hurts sometimes. And prostitution is one of those things that people do for money when no one's, you know, there's millions of jobs out there, but there's no one paying a living wage where you can live off of, pay your bills, pay your car note, get gas, medical insurance. You know, a lot of things pile up. And sometimes people are forced to do things that they normally wouldn't do. But that doesn't mean that it gives anybody the right to exploit these women and sometimes men into, you know, sex trafficking. You know, it's just not right. And then, you know, when they use you up, or when they get tired of you, when they can't use you no more how they want to use you, they, you know, they kill you and they dispose of you in animalistic ways. That's just terrible for the families of these people to find out that their loved ones have died in this way. You know, most of these women are kidnapped women, or most of these women are forced into doing things they're not really, you know what I mean? Like they forcing the thing they don't want to do. And it's a shame that the laws are so laxed that it's impossible to get help. And then when you do get help, people brandish you some kind of Jezebel, some kind of whore. I mean, you know, it's the court of public opinion is far worse than any judicial court. Really, really bad. And, you know, most of these people are the ones that's doing it are rich, well-off people that, you know, you can see every day, Wall Street, some politicians. I'm not excluding them, politicians, hedge fund managers, people that's well off. And it seems like no one really wants to even try to prosecute these people because of the lawyers they have or the connections they have. You know, people will say, if you testify against this person, you'll get a pardon, or you'll be excluded from being arrested from prosecution. And it's just really horrible. It's just really horrible. You know, starting off with this podcast, I don't even know what to say. I wish I had enough clout, you know, to interview some of these people that been through these sex trafficking places, and get their story. But when it really all comes down to it comes down to, you know, like I said, kidnappings. Some of these women haven't been seen in months. Some of these women haven't been seen in years. Then, you know, their body turns up And it's just, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. The police don't really do anything. And some of these women come from over the border. Some of these women come from different countries. And, you know, they either can't speak English or they're just so frightened that American police are like the police in their country that will just turn a blind eye if someone gives enough money. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes it is true that people will turn a blind eye when it comes to money. You know, like I've said before, money talks and everybody fall in line. And that's a despicable thing, but it's the truth of the matter. Money rules all. You know, no matter how you try to set your moral compass, you know, people prey on that, the weakness that you have for others. You know, my mom needs this, her medicine, or my child needs whatever. And the only way you can get it is by selling yourself, selling your soul, basically. And it's a shame that people prey on that instead of just outright just helping. So, it's really a shame. It's really a terrible, terrible shame. And hopefully the laws catch up. But people be so worried about corporate taxes, corporate greed, than to worry about actual people. And that's not really how it should be. I mean, everybody claim to be just righteous person. Everybody claim to believe in Jesus. So, you know, I just find it a horrible thing. And I wish I could help more get some of these women off the streets. You know, we really need to watch our kids and, you know, everything around us, basically. Everything is, you know, everybody is an enemy. Men, women, you know, women trick other women, you know, because they've been tricked and they've been in their life so long. Now it's like, you know, they can't really distinguish between friend and foe, and everybody's an enemy. It's like one of those, well, if I had to go through it, you got to go through it too. And no one helped me, so why should anybody help you? And it becomes a vicious cycle. And it's terrible that it's a cycle that continues and continues. And this is not a cheap cycle. Like, these are, like I said, these are people that's making millions, hundreds of thousands are behind this. And, you know, like I said, they got connections, government. They got connections to, you know, certain areas that us regular folk don't. And they just continue to do it because they continue to go unpunished. I mean, you have millions of traffickers, hundreds of thousands, millions of traffickers, and you only wind up catching out of 100% of traffickers, you wind up catching not even 10% of them. You wind up catching like, what, 3-5% of them? That's not enough to get anybody in that industry worried. I mean, they'll just be even more cautious. And then you have politicians who cover for these people. And you have police officers that cover for these people. People of high standing. And it's a shame. It really is. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And it won't end. It won't end anytime soon. Until regular people put their foot down and stop worrying about the cops, you know? If I gotta hire a private investigator and start to search myself, then that's what I'll do. If I had to bring a team of people, then that's what I'll do. And I mean, if people die on the way, then they just die. I mean, you won't get a life back. And, you know, people say that's not justice, but I mean, tearing a child away from their parents at a certain age and grooming them to be sex trafficked, sex workers, prostitutes, grooming them 15, 13, 17, making them sleep with different men every night for, you know, your monetary gain just to make you feel good, because people want to sleep with underage girls. or people want to feel some type of way. You know, people want to feel like they're superior to these women, so they treat them in any kind of way, and then people just throw them away. You drug them, you get them addicted to cocaine, or you get them addicted to heroin, or, you know what I mean, something else, and then their life is just over. I mean, they can't get that dignity back. They can't get their pride back. Their whole life is changed now. They become a whole different person. And it's like no one wants to even attempt to, you know, help these women the way they should be helped. There should be more national outcry for sex trafficking than there is. I mean, it really should be. And I'm talking about globally, not even nationally, globally. There should be ways to curb this type of thing. But there isn't. And it's a shame. Just like the war on drugs, people should spend way more money, because the war on drugs is not going to go away. The war on drugs has been, you know, millions and billions of dollars funneled into agencies and different, you know, task forces. And none of that shit works. None of that shit works. I think there's even more drugs on the street than it was in the 90s, in the 80s. You know, the biggest thing was crack in the 80s. Now it's like, yeah, you know, all types of synthetic drugs, heroin, make a comeback, black tar heroin, you know, different types of heroin, cocaine, synthetic drugs that's made in the lab by somebody or made somewhere, a makeshift lab. And these people are making these women take these drugs, and their mind is get one way and their mind goes another way. It's just a shame. And it's a shame that us as a society sit back and allow these things to happen without even, you know, batting the eye. Oh, she's a prostitute. Well, how did she become a prostitute? I mean, people just don't grow up and want to become prostitutes. You know, maybe she was kidnapped somewhere. Maybe she's scared to talk. Like, you know, you label these people, and it's like a stigma that just sticks to them. So, you know, then they're feeling, well, why should I even attempt to talk? Who's going to take care of me? You know, I've been sleeping with this man, and I've been getting this money, and I haven't had to pay rent. This person bought me clothes. I'm in this house. I get drove here, you know, even though I don't want to sleep with most of the customers that they get. But I mean, what other choice do they have? No one wants to hear their story. And the first thing it is, well, you're a prostitute. You know, maybe you consented. And it's mindsets like that make these women not want to report anything, because I'll just get labeled a whore or, you know, some type of Jezebel or a prostitute. And if they'll lock me up, yeah, you know, I'll get sent to court. Maybe I'll do a couple years in jail, and I'm right back out on the street with nothing. And, you know, people don't understand that. They cite other people. Well, this person did this when they got out of jail. Well, you know, everybody is different. Everyone's cases ain't the same. You know, some family members, people say how they have children. You know, it's different for everybody. And there should be a safety net to help these women not get back into this environment where they wind up being trafficked across the globe to people they don't know, men they don't want to sleep with. You know, they're taking young girls, basically turning them into modern day slaves. Oh, your mom owe a debt, or your dad. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's people just don't think these things as normal. And it shouldn't be like that. These women, when women ask for the help, there should be help. There shouldn't be a pause in the help. Well, maybe I should help. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe she's lying. Maybe she's not. You know, there shouldn't be none of that. You know, just get them straight to help, period. You'll find out if they're lying. But most of the time, it's not lying. You know, they can only say certain things. They can only believe certain things and not. I feel for these women. There'll be another episode, maybe later on today, maybe tomorrow. But this is the Rattle Building signing off.